My name is Hannah, and I am actually a 18-year-old college student. I have a couple of different interests, which would be makeup, art, video games, and serial killers, as well as criminal justice, because that's what I'm planning on doing at, for my career. So today I decided to present my presentation I had to do for criminal justice class, because I just thought it was very interesting and I got a great grade on it. So if you like this kind of things, you know, continue to listen. But if you're not too good with gruesome things, then I would suggest clicking off because it does get pretty brutal. So let's continue. So we're going to be talking about Richard Trenton Chase. Now, he was the serial killer of Sacramento, or the vampire killer of Sacramento, born May the 23rd, 1950, in California, had very strict parents, were very abusive, and as a kid, he was known of setting fires, killing animals, and wetting the bed until he was about 8. When he was a teenager, he became an alcoholic and a user of drugs, such as marijuana and LSD. He actually sought out a doctor because he, as a teenager, had an ED, said to be caused by suppressed rage and mental illness, but later discovered it was because he could only get off by brutal acts and necrophilia. In his early adulthood, he moved out when he was about 18 with some roommates, but was forced to leave because of his weird behavior. His father then rented him a place when he was about 21. Alone in his apartment, he would capture animals, kill them, and then dismember them to eat them raw. He would also put the different parts into a blender and make them into smoothies so he could drink them. He actually thought this would help him make sure his heart wouldn't shrink, which he had a big fear of because he was a schizophrenic. He then was institutionalized in either 1975 or 1976 because he was taken to the hospital for blood poisoning, which he got from injecting rabbit's blood into his veins. Now, patients and nurses were very frightened by him because he was discovered with blood all over his face. Said that he got it from, like, shaving, but it was discovered he would kill animals that he caught from his window, mostly birds, snap their necks, and drank their blood. So he, he got worse and worse, and he actually continued to drink and eat rabbits and dogs and cats, as well as neighbors' pets. He then became fascinated and purchased a bunch of firearms that he obsessed over. He then eventually lost interest in personal hygiene, such as bathing, grooming, and brushing his teeth. And then he also stopped eating and dropped to about 145 in his weight. So murder one. So this was considered as the warm-up kill because it was very straight to the point. Usually with serial killers, they're still discovering their motive and they're deciding if they can actually get away with it, which is probably what he was doing. So on December 29th, 1977, he killed Ambrose Griffin, a 51-year-old engineer, husband, and father of two. He was shot with a .22 caliber rifle, which he was helping his wife carry in groceries. Moving on to murder two, which is a little more gruesome. While he was trying to break into random people's house, he came across David and Teresa's Wayland's house. David was at work, and Teresa was actually a 3-month-old pregnant wife who was taking out the garbage, leaving her door unlocked. It was actually a fact that Chase thought that if you left your door unlocked, you were actually welcoming him into your house, but if it was unlocked, he would leave you alone. But since it was unlocked, he decided to go in. He surprised her and shot her in the hand, which was a defensive wound, and then twice in the head, killing her. He dragged her body to the bedroom where he raped the dead body and then removed several of her organs and collected the blood to bathe in. He then sliced off her nipple to drink from it. He went to the backyard later on and collected dog feces, returned to the body, and actually stuffed the body, body's throat and mouth. Now we're coming to the end of the first recording, so if you would like to hear the rest of it, I will be putting it up after this, so keep on listening. Hello, this is the continuation of Serial Killers, with Richard Trenton Chase. Now we're continuing on with his murders, so let's go. So, 38-year-old Evelyn was babysitting her 22-month-old nephew David. Also present was her 6-year-old son Jason and neighbor Dan. Evelyn was in the bath while Dan watched the children. Chase Chase entered the front hallway and shot Dan at point-blank range, who was the neighbor. Jason, scared, ran to his mother, but was also shot as well as baby David. Chase entered the bathroom and fatally shot Evelyn in the head. He then dragged the corpse to the bed where he sodomized and drank the blood of the body. He stabbed her at least a dozen times in her anus, penetrating her uterus. He stabbed her in a series of vital points on the body, which caused blood from the internal organs to pool into her abdomen, which he then sliced and poured into a bucket, consuming all of it. Chase went to go get David's corpse. He took it to the bathroom and then slit the skull open on the bathroom and consumed the brain matter. Continuing on the murder three, a 6-year-old girl who was coming over for a playdate knocked on the door and startled him. He fled, stealing Dan Murth's car, and the girls alerted the neighbor. The neighbor broke in and called the police. Meanwhile, Chase took David's corpse home with him, where he chopped off his penis and used it as a straw to suck the blood out of his body. He ate some of the organs and smoothied the rest of it and dumped the body at a church. So, in his apprehension, after the mass murder, Nancy Holden contacted the police because she was suspicious of Chase. They ran a background test and found the registration for the pistol he used in the murders. Police and the detectives wanted to speak to him, but he refused, so they waited till he left his apartment to arrest him. He was carrying a bloodstained box, a .22 caliber pistol, and bloody clothes. They searched his apartment and found the walls, floor, ceiling, refrigerator, and utensils soaked in blood. The counter had the blender where he made his smoothies that was caked in blood and internal organs. Inside the fridge was several animal parts, David's brain in Tupperware, and pieces of his body in saran wrap, as well as Evelyn and Teresa's internal organs. In his trial, evidence was gathered from Chase to compare to samples already being in Alliance from victims. There was plenty of blood on the clothes, and they took some hair, but when they tried to take blood tests, they had to restrain him because of his intense fear of losing blood. The prosecutor sought out the death penalty, but the defense pleaded not guilty for the reason of insanity. The prosecution argued that he knew the difference between right and wrong and was not compelled to murder. He brought up blood-related crimes and blood rituals in various cultures. Some believe that blood can heal, but it's not a viable reason for murder. On January 2nd, 1979, the trial began. Chase was charged with 6 counts of murder. The prosecutor emphasized throughout the trial that Chase had a choice and mentioned several times that he had brought rubber gloves with him to the victim's home with the intent of murder. The defense asked for a verdict of a second-degree murder to spare Chase the death penalty, since he was clearly insane and had never been given proper help. The prosecution argued that a sexual sadist, a monster who knew what he was doing and could not be salvaged. On May 8, 1978, after 5 hours of deliberation, the jury returned a verdict of 6 counts of first-degree murder. During the sanity pleas, the jury found Chase legally sane after deliberating an hour. It took them 4 hours to decide that Chase should die in a gas chamber at St. Quentin's Penitentiary. The day after Christmas in 1980, Chase overdosed on his medication for depression and hallucinations that he was hoarding. The cause of death was toxic ingestion. So it is clear that the famous vampire killer Sacramento was dead. If you enjoyed listening to my presentation and would like to hear other serial killers, let me know, and I will do some research and do more podcasts like this. Thank you very much for listening.